Shalom, אנחנו ב...
Hello, we are in a preparation lesson for our World Convention in Kiev, all as one. We're going to be reading an article from Rabash, All of Israel Have a Part in the Next World. Questions can be sent to kab.tv or Sviva Tova. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired there during the lesson. Once again, a Rabash article called All of Israel Have a Part in the Next World.
When we hear or read texts written by Kabbalists, we have to understand that the definitions of the words, the names and appellations are according to the true spiritual definitions as they were in those times, meaning that Israel was not a nation, rather all of those who had a desire straight to the Creator were called Israel. This world, the next world, is not what all kinds of smart people can consider. Rather, Kabbalists determined that this world is what a person feels in his desires to receive, and the next world is what he discovers and feels in his desires to bestow. God is the general nature that includes all of reality, guiding and sustaining and developing nature towards the predetermined purpose. First, those who yearn for it called Israel, and then all the others called the nations of the world. The same happens within an individual, within one person. He has all those forces within, as it happens in the whole, in the collective, because the particular and the collective are equal. So everything has to be interpreted with respect to a person or a group and not nationality. As Baal Aslam writes, that the Torah doesn't describe nationality. Nationality or any other definitions from our world. So in order to understand the Kabbalists, we have to make an effort to define all the terms in the right internal meaning.
All of Israel have a part in the next world.
The next world means the world that is next to us, the world of bestowal, that state. We're talking about a will to receive that was created, and all the discernments felt in it, happened in it.
In the Zohar, Noach, it is written, come and see, all of Israel have a part in the next world. And he asks, what's the point? And he says, since they keep the covenant, so that the world will exist upon it. As it is written, if they don't keep my covenant day and night, the laws of night of heaven and earth I would not put. And therefore, since Israel keep the covenant, because they accepted it upon themselves, have a part in the next world. We should understand that to start with, he says that all of Israel have a part, meaning that anyone with the name Israel would be considered without any preconditions, and they have a part in the next world. And then he interprets that it's not all of Israel, but rather those who keep the covenant. And he brings evidence from the sentence that the intention of the keepers of the covenant, in it's written, if they don't keep my covenant day and night, the laws of heaven and earth I would not put. And we should also understand what the meaning of this is, if it were not for my covenant day and night. And the meaning is the covenant. And in Psachim it's written, Rabbi Elazar said, if it weren't for Torah, heaven and earth would not exist. As it was said, if they did not keep my covenants day and night, the laws of heaven and earth I shall not put there. And Rashi interpreted it, if it weren't for the covenant of day and night, meaning the study of Torah, as it is written, and you exerted in it day and night. And the meaning here is that the covenant is called Torah. And here the Holy Zohar interprets that covenant is the Brit Milah, the circumcision, as we keep the covenants. Here in the matter of the keeping of a covenant, or making a covenant that was with Abraham, where he made a covenant with him, our sages said that the Creator helped in making the covenant, for he could not make this covenant on his own, but rather the Creator helped him. We should understand in the work what it means that he couldn't do the covenant making and that he needed help from the Creator. Here in Abraham with Avimelech it is written, and they both made a covenant. And Bala Sulam asked, if two people understand that it's worthwhile for them to love each other, why would they need to make a covenant? Why does this help when you make a deed, as if we're making a contract? And what does this give us? So he said, it gives that by making a covenant, the meaning is that it could be that something will come that will bring separation between them. And so they make a covenant now. Just as now they understand that there's love between them and equivalence between them, this covenant will be for existence, even if later things that will cause separation will come. But nevertheless, this connection they're making now will be forever. Accordingly, we should say that if things come later that do need to separate between them, then we should say that each and every one should go above reason and to say that they are not observing that which they see within reason, but rather they're going above reason. And only in such a way can a covenant exist, and for there not to be separation between them. From this it works out that when they say that the Brit is Torah, or whether they say that the Brit, the covenant, is the circumcision, the meaning isn't that just this gives the covenant with the Creator, so that he will not separate from this making of a covenant, but rather that his heart will be whole with the Creator, but rather the Torah and the circumcision both come to keep the covenant in which a person's heart should be whole with the Creator and to adhere to him in a pillar that will never leave. As it is written, if it weren't for my covenant day and night, the laws of heaven and earth I would not put forth. Meaning the matter of the creation of heaven and earth was in the intention of to do good to his creatures. And the creatures cannot receive this good and delight without equivalence of form, which is considered that all his deeds will be in order to bestow. Otherwise, there would be separation between the creatures and the Creator. And for this, we were given the two covenants, meaning the circumcision, the Brit Milah, and the Brit of the Torah. By them, we will be able to come to the covenant with the Creator in faith above reason, so that we will be able to do everything in an order to bestow.
Question. Why do we need to make the covenant specifically with the Creator? Isn't it enough to agree between us, one shall help the other, that during the ascents and descents we hold each other and thus advance? Please. Why do we also need to make a covenant with the Creator, not just between us? Go ahead.
With what force could we hold on to each other if not with that which connects between us? And what connects between us is that force which is called Bore, the Creator.
It's the ups and downs are in the connection between us. And so the Creator is both in the ups and the downs, and He's the force that does this to us and can take it out of that.
One way or another, we have to always begin and end with the goal. What's the goal of the covenant between us if not to reveal the Creator? It's certain that if we try to get this connection between us, we'll realize that we can't do it. We must have Him for that.
In order for that covenant to not be a corporeal one, it has to include something additional that doesn't exist in any other covenant. And it's really the presence of the Creator, the goal that we look at as the Creator, and to know that it's not going to happen otherwise without Him.
Yes, we want to hold on to each other, but who's going to hold us? And why? The whole reason for that which we do, everything that awakens in us something for us to do, is the force that created us. It's also clear that without Him being there, not the covenant or anything would happen. So like you said, actually, just in other words,
the whole point of holding each other, what is it? It's to see
Rav, what is the part of the Creator in the covenant? What is the part of the Creator in the covenant? You could say it like this: what's the part of a person, what's the part of the group, and what is the part of the Creator? Please.
The person's part is to ask for the covenant to allow him to see that everything that is happening is for him to ask for the covenant, and the Creator's part is to make it happen.
There's the Creator, the quality of bestowal, controls both the person and the group, the thoughts, the opinions, and all the states that will come. So on behalf of a person and the group, there's an obligation to make all the possible efforts to observe that connection of bestowal with them and the Creator. And as far as the Creator, I don't know what He does.
What is the person's part in the covenant, the group's part, and the Creator? Well, we have to try to keep it, and beyond try, we have to come to a point where we are in need of it. The Creator needs to be a guarantor that we can actually hold it.
Maybe a person is the one that ignites this process. After the point in the heart awakens, that's the Creator, a person comes with his egoistic desire to attain a goal, and he makes a covenant. The group helps keep a person in the difficult times when he is weakened, and the Creator is the father that's watching over the children when they're playing to lead them to the safe and certain place that they have to go to from above.
The man's part is to want to cling to the Creator, and the group is the place that enables him to be the field where he expresses that towards the Creator. How much he manages that whole thing. And if a person won't be able to, if the Creator won't give strength, the person won't give strength to the group. It's a closed circle.
The group is also that field where a person implements the covenant. That's where he asks about it. It gives him the opportunity to be in a certain attitude, with relationship, which is called the Creator. The Creator needs to enable a person to have the covenant on his behalf towards the friends, and also towards the friends. A person needs to discover that the Creator is clothed in the friends also, in his attitude towards them, or their attitude towards him, and they demonstrate an attitude of arvut, of bestowal towards him too.
I also thought that the Creator, the goal, it's in the group, in the correct connection in between the friends, both the Creator appears and the covenant. So the covenant is between seemingly the members of the group to build a vessel to reveal the Creator. And in the Arvut there, they hold that vessel aimed at bestowal, which is what he wants.
The friends make a covenant with each other. A person wants to obligate to the group. The group gives him the force to ask for it, and the Creator gives him the force to keep it.
That part is of the person that he brings his lack to the group to build a kli to reveal the importance of the Creator, so that we can see the importance of the Creator as pleasure that will enter that covenant, and then all the parts need to act accordingly. The Creator is probably already standing by, waiting for us to be ready.
And our covenant, the Creator, probably when our point in the heart was born, is to help him to be revealed in the created beings. And it's like there's a person, and that's his goal. That's his implementation towards the Creator. And the group was given to a person so that he'll be able to do this.
Rav, if we look at this diagram, then what we see is that there's the Creator force. That's first. The part of God above within us is the second. And then there are two more intermediary forms through which we have to make the covenant. So the covenant is really between who? It's the point in the heart that needs to be brought back to the Creator. And then there are these two other parts that are supposed to help us. That's their role, to help bring all of those parts of God above back to God. So what should be this the relationship between all of these? Quickly, in one sentence. How do we position the group, the ego, the Creator, and the point in the heart to bring everything to correction? But the correction happens when we bring the point in the heart back to its source. That's how it's called, the part of God above. When we bring it back, then both the group and our ego, it all comes together to bring that point back to the Creator. Well, all right, let's leave that aside. We'll get back to that later.
So we're continuing with, and this is the meaning. And this is the meaning, if not for my covenant, meaning if I would not create the advice of how to come to equivalence of form, there wouldn't be the possibility to receive the good and delight, which is the whole purpose of creation, to do good to his creatures. And if I were not to prepare those ways of how to come to equivalence of form, I would not need to create heaven and earth, because they wouldn't be able to receive any good from creation, and the whole creation would be with no benefit, because there would be no one to be able to enjoy creation. And about this covenant that was made as a stake that would never end, Abraham needed his help. This is the matter that the Creator needs to help him. And he made a covenant with him, as the Creator helped him, for him to have the ability to go above reason. And in the work above reason, we should discern three discernments. One, that he doesn't feel any lack in his work in order for him to have a need to go above reason. Two, that he feels his lack, but rather he is in the matter of female, meaning that he's lost his forces like a female, meaning he has no force to overcome and go above reason. And three, he is considered a matter of male, meaning he has the force of overcoming to go above reason. First, for example, when a person wants to wake early in the morning and he's awakened to wake up, there are times when a person hears and doesn't pay attention at all and continues to sleep. And then there is no one to feel his lack, because he falls asleep immediately. And anyhow, he has no time to think of his lack. Due to this, he is not yet entering into the matter of Adam, in which you can discern between male and female. Because Adam is from the language of Ish Adama, a man of the earth, meaning that he works the earth in order to bring forth fruit and produce to nourish the soul. And only you could say this about one who feels his lack begins to work, meaning that to correct his lack, whereas one who does not feel his lack, there's no one to talk to. Meaning, even if they say about his lack, he doesn't hear it, because he has many excuses for everything. Anyways, he has no place for prayer for the Creator to help him and for him to have the ability to come out of the disturbances that come his way. Two, when he is awakened, he starts to think. Right, I told my friend that he should awaken me, but when I told my friend that I want to wake up early in the morning, it was because I had a little bit of longing to wake up and study, and I was longing for the pleasure that I would receive from the Torah. And let's say, even if I wasn't thinking that there would be any great pleasure from the study of Torah, nevertheless, the suffering from having to get up from the bed and to give up the pleasure of rest, I didn't have. Because when I was talking to my friend and asking him to awaken me, I was only thinking about the pleasure that I would be able to bring out of the study of Torah. And that's why I told him. Whereas now, when I am laying on my bed under the blanket and there's rain outside and it's windy, certainly I feel pleasure from the rest now, and I need to wake up. How do I know that I will receive more pleasure from the study of Torah? Due to that, it is best if I could just sit and not do a thing, because there's no doubt that I'm taking plenty from that, because from the rest, I definitely have pleasure, and from the study of Torah, it doesn't illuminate to me, so I would have pleasure from it. But later he gets thoughts, after all we studied, that we need to go above reason, meaning to not look at what pleasure I would have, and that would be my measurement. Rather, we need to work for the sake of heaven. If so, why am I making calculations with myself, meaning how much I will profit from this? Rather, I need to make a calculation whether in this deed that I do, I am keeping the commandments of the Creator. And the Creator will enjoy this by me hearing His voice and listening to Him. And why do I have thoughts about self-love? And what can I do now, since I can't overcome my thoughts? It turns out that he is called the Creator's worker and wants to overcome these foreign thoughts, meaning that these thoughts are foreign to the way of Torah. And this is considered that he is in the matter of female, in that he has weakened in his forces like a female, and he has no force to overcome. Three is the discernment of male, meaning he has the force to overcome, meaning when he is awakened and thoughts come his way, why should you wake up from the rest that you're enjoying from? And definitely you're thinking that you will get up from your bed and go study, you will have more pleasure than you have now. How do you know that it will be so? And it gives him advice immediately that he should discern whether the truth is so. Then he tells it, what meaning do you have in your study right now that you're studying, that you're thinking that you'll have later? And immediately such flavors come to him until his world darkens before him.
There are perhaps four states. One, when I'm like, you know, under the blanket, I feel hot, warm. Outside it's cold, and I have to maybe walk a few kilometers to come to the place of study, and I'm full of power. I jump out of bed. I'm a hero. And I, you know, like a lion, I go forward to study. The other state is opposite. I'm under the blanket. I have no desire, no power, can't move. The third state, I'm powerless. But the importance of getting up and going to study is there, and I have to muster the strength to come. And the fourth state, I'm still under the blanket, and I don't have any desire, any power. Even though I know that it's doable, but I can't. So different states in terms of desire and intention. What is the preferred state from all of the above for spiritual development? Outside, it's rainy and cold. Under the blanket, it's warm, and I'm tired. But the other conditions change. So what would be preferred if I could determine the conditions, if I could determine all of these foundations? What would be best for spiritual progress?
I think that it's preferred to connect each and every one of these states to the source from which it comes, to the cause, the reason which is to give me the place to overcome and to realize that it all comes from one place, and not relate to it on the plane that it's revealed to me, but add an additional plane, which is the reason. the cause, and the action is basically a request for help. If I overcome with my own forces, I'm still operating in the same plane. If I see that I have no forces and I ask for help and receive, then I start to work with a force that is external to me.
The best possible state is that I am powerless, because that is the truth, and there's no importance, and I come to the lesson nevertheless in order to be healed. Somehow I give some excuse to the evil inclination, dragging it to the lesson, and then I have a lack for the lesson.
It's best if I have no strength to move, and I'm asking the Creator for the force to move me. That's nevertheless to come, that's for sure.
The overcoming is most effective for spiritual progress, even though it's not very pleasant to the ego. You don't want that state. You don't want your ego wants to stay in bed, and the importance of the goal you have is maybe not even that high, but because of the covenant, because of the connection you made with the group and the Creator, you somehow come, you drag yourself.
Rav, what am I preparing for myself for, let's say, tomorrow at 2 o'clock at night? What state? Is it right to say? What do I wish to myself to have that state tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the morning when I have to wake up? Not 3. 3, I have to already be here at 2:45.
What do I really wish for, or what? Well, since my phone broke down a week ago, I live in fear, and Rabash's article really confirms me, because Niv used to verify that I wake up, so I feel even more dependent on those simple, beastly things. So I wish for myself tomorrow morning, well, I really want to get up like a lion and run to the lesson that way, and pray and be in a demand. But, well, that's what I want. I can't say otherwise. But I understand that an opportunity to advance is that sense of dependence and that effort to come, and Alex, help me.
It's clear that for our development we need states that are as much challenging as possible, that will bring you, in truth, maybe that's the best state, where you see at last how much of a rag you are and you have no forces.
Rav, meaning I want to have a very thin thread between me and the Creator called a covenant, that from all the other discernments, desires, I'll have nothing, and I'll just yearn for that connection, right? The very thin thread between me and the Creator that I can be aided by and advance with. Right? Understood? Okay, let's continue.
We are continuing with Rabash's article. We're going to start a paragraph back. 3 is the discernment of male, meaning he has the force of overcoming, meaning when he's awakened, and if thoughts come his way, why should you wake up from this rest that you're enjoying? And certainly you're thinking that you will wake up from your bed and go to study, you'll have more pleasure than you have right now. How do you know that it will be so? Immediately he is given advice that he should discern whether the truth is so. Then it tells him, what flavor do you have now in the study? that you're thinking to receive later. Immediately those flavors come to him such that it reaches the world has darkened before him, meaning he gets pictures of concealment, meaning it conceals from him the livelihood of the Torah. And the body asks him, tell the truth, to these states you're longing? And if he is a man who is called a man of war, he tells his body, it is all right that you're saying, meaning according to your opinion, you're right. But my foundation, upon which I am building the matter of the engagement in Torah and Mitzvot, is on the foundation of above reason, which means that my reason obligates, that the will to receive enjoyment and pleasure is the one that decides if it's worthwhile to work or not. And above reason means that he is working in order to bestow, meaning that the will to receive does not have to agree with this, but rather the desire to bestow is what decides. Meaning, if he believes that from this the Creator will have contentment from the deed he's doing now, that he wants to do now, immediately he is willing to do this thing without any delay, even if his body claims against it. Nevertheless, he has the force to overcome it, and that is called Zachar, a male. But after a person has been through these three discernments in the work, first, when he doesn't yet feel his lack in order to know to ask from the Creator to help him, two, where he does feel his lack, but he doesn't have the force of overcoming, which is called the discernment of female, and three, which is the discernment of male, or the matter of man of war, meaning he can overcome his lack. And he comes to the discernment of Shabbat, meaning the state of rest from his work, which is called, you shall work 6 days, and on the seventh day you will rest. And this is where we should discern, these are the times of Noah, Noah, the righteous man. Noah is from Naicha, rest, as it is written in the Zohar, and hence he is called a righteous, because Deha Baya Naicha. Because the Zohar says, Baya Dait Tercha, in the place where there is labor, there is the sitracha, meaning in the place where is toil, there is the other side, meaning one who is a righteous cannot have any exertion. And as Bala Sulam said, a place where holiness shines, that's where a person nullifies as a candle before a flame. And beyond that, we shouldn't say that the body has any exertion, because the holiness is the source of good and pleasure. And while a person is still has a grip in the sitracha, and it clothes on his self-love, which is called to receive in order to receive, upon that discernment there was restriction and concealment. And sanctity cannot be revealed there. Only the concealment dwells on that place, meaning the good and delight does not shine there, but rather the opposite of that. And where we say that they are our lives and the way of our lives, and in them we will exert day and night, or when we say those that are, or when we say those that are as pleasant as gold and much glory and sweeter than honey and beautiful things, this isn't a time when a person has the kelim that are qualified for it, which are called the vessels of bestowal. For this gives us the manner of equivalence of form. For then the reception of these pleasures is in the manner of in order to bestow. Otherwise, if the light and the abundance would illuminate in the vessels of reception, the receivers would become more distant from the Creator. And the essence is that we need to be in adhesion with the Creator. Just as it is written, and you who are adhered to the Creator, your God, all live today. In this, it works out that whoever is righteous, there is no place for the sitracha there, but rather there is place there for naicha derucha, and this is the matter of Shabbat, as it is written, for he rested and settled. And then in the sanctity of Shabbat, there is no rest. But our sages said, and the Creator told them, the fools in the world, those who have toiled in the eve of Shabbat, will eat in Shabbat, and who has not toiled in the eve of Shabbat, how will he eat on Shabbat? Which means that whoever has had to exert, meaning he had work and effort with the Sitracha, as it disturbed him to go on the way of Lishma, meaning while he was working, he felt that he could not overcome his evil, and because he has not yet merited to enter sanctity, but he believes that the moment he enters sanctity, certainly the Sitracha will nullify as a candle before a flame. And then he has no contact with the Sitracha. It works out that he knows that he's lacking one thing, and that is that the Creator will help him and give him to attain some sanctity. And moreover, everything will come on its place in peace. Due to this, during the effort and the work, he prays from the depth of his heart for the Creator to help him. And then he feels that without assistance from the Creator, he won't attain a thing. And the feeling that he has, that the Creator can help him, makes in a person a vessel to receive the assistance from the Creator, because this lack is called a kli to receive filling. And due to this, the faith that he believes in the Creator, as it is written, for you hear the prayer of every mouth, makes the kli to receive the assistance. By this we will understand the matter that he who has not exerted on the eve of Shabbat, meaning that he didn't work with himself to work in order to bestow, and to see how he cannot triumph alone without the help of the Creator, has no place for prayer, which is the kli to receive his assistance. And the rule is that there is no light without kli. Hence, we need preparation in order to have what to eat in Shabbat, because 6 days of action are the preparation for receiving the light of Shabbat. And Shabbat is called the abundance which is extended to fill the empty kilim, which expect his assistance. This is as it's written, the light in it reforms. As it is written in Shabbat, and all the judgments are coming from it, and nothing else, no other control can be in all the worlds other than it. And in this, after the exertion with the Sitracha, as we feel the lack, which is called Kli, then we can receive the matter of Shabbat, which is called Shvita and Menucha, rest and... And then we can understand what we asked, where he says that all of Israel have a part in the next world without any conditions. And then he says that specifically those who kept the covenant and not all of Israel. In this we should interpret the word Israel, which is Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator, which means that all that he does, he wants for all his deeds will be direct to the Creator, and not for his own benefit. And this is as we have commented on the sentence, you shall not have a foreign god, and you shall not bow to an alien god. Our sages said, what is a foreign god in the body of a man? And it says, this is the evil inclination. We should understand this, after all, also the good inclination is in the body of man, as it is written, for people are brothers, we are brothers, and the evil inclination and the good inclination are close to each other. One is to the right of a man, and one is to his left, meaning the evil inclination to his left and the good inclination on his right. So we see that the good inclination is in the body of man. If so, what is the meaning in what they said, that the evil inclination is in the body of man? We should interpret this on our way, the way we go, with, in fact, that the evil inclination is concerned and longs for everything he does enters his body, and that the intention is that everything will be for his own benefit, and that's called into his body, whereas the good inclination aspires for all his deeds to be outside his body, which is considered that all his aspirations are to reach for all his deeds to be for the sake of heaven and not for his own benefit. In this, we can interpret the word Israel, which means Yashar Kel, that all his deeds will be only for the sake of heaven. It is brought in our sages' words. Rabbi Levi said, "Liba veina drei sarsurin dechata'a." The heart and the eye are the two pimps of the sin, as it is written, "Na libi, give me your heart, and my eyes will be given." And the Creator said, "If you gave me your heart and your eyes, I will know that you're mine, that you're for me." What we understand from here is that he who says he chooses his people Israel, when is a person called a man that belongs to the people of Israel, of the Creator, is when he gives his eyes and heart to there, meaning that all that he looks at and all that his heart longs for, he tries for it all to be for good and for the benefit of the Creator, and not for his own benefit. This is considered anat li, you are mine, or you are to me, which means you belong to me. And then he is included in his nation, Yashar Kel. In this we should interpret that all of Israel have a part in the next world, and then he interprets it, who is called Israel? And he says, only he who keeps the covenant upon which the world exists is called in the name Israel. Otherwise, anyone who does not keep the covenant by which the world will exist does not belong to the discernment of Israel, but rather belongs to the nations of the world. And what is the covenant upon which the world exists? It is as mentioned, meaning that he makes a covenant with the Creator for all his deeds to be only for the benefit of the Creator, which is considered in order to bestow. And by this the world will exist, meaning that the world was created in order to do good to his creatures. And any time where there is no equivalence of form, the good and delight cannot be clothed in the creatures. We find that the whole creation of the world that was in order to do good to his creatures was for nothing, because there is no one to receive this good and delight. Whereas by the covenant with the Creator, the creatures will be qualified to receive the good and delight. And in order to reach the covenant, there is Torah and there is Brit Milah, the circumcision, meaning that all that we do needs to be aimed so that by this we will merit the making a covenant with the Creator forever. And especially we need to believe that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth, and by that we will be saved.
Toronto.
Toronto.
Thank you, Rav. We have a question from Ahmed from Toronto. What is the difference between covenant and mutual guarantee?
So, first of all, any spiritual quality which means above our original egoistic will to receive, it can happen only by the upper light. Meaning the Creator makes it happen. When we ask for it, it says, make your desire as His desire. Meaning, it refers to the correct intentions. Therefore, a person should first recognize what his intentions are. Our desires we cannot change, that's nature. However, our intentions come from the shattering, and we have to correct them. To the extent that we understand from the study, from our connection, from the influence of the surrounding lights, as a result of that, that we are interested in correcting our intentions in order to bestow, meaning above our nature for the benefit of others and through others to the Creator. The Creator is the inclusive aspect of all of them. That's the difference between others and the Creator. And if we advance like that correctly, then we gain corrections. That's the path. What was the question once again?
What's the difference between the covenant and the mutual guarantee?
Right. Mutual guarantee exists between us, even though we need the upper force for that, and the covenant is between us and the Creator, which also certainly happens by Him. It's all taking place by Him. The question is just where exactly does it happen? The mutual guarantee is as an infrastructure that the Creator sustains. And the covenant is between us and the Creator, also sustained by the Creator. Both happen and are sustained by our prayer and request for adhesion with Him and for these conditions to be kept. The moment His assistance moves away from us, for whatever reason, usually it's in order to raise us to a higher level, then at that moment we stay powerless and we realize that we have to increase the Creator's force. That's the difference between the covenant, mutual guarantee, and that interconnection with the Creator. More? Yes?
Ray from Florida is asking, is it even possible for a student to choose the desirable state without his egoistic desire mess with him?
What?
Is it even possible for a student to choose the desirable state for him without the egoistic desire kind of mess with him? Rabash is talking here about those four states here.
By what can I choose? What else do I have other than egoistic desires?
That's what he's asking.
I don't have anything else, so I don't understand what he wants. What, am I an angel? My whole nature is an egoistic desire, how to enjoy. And that's how I choose, and I can't choose anything else besides that, besides what does good to me. What I can do, by the group, by the study, and as a result, the light that reforms, to begin to hear about other states that exist. But it's no longer beyond, it's not in me, it's beyond nature.
Rabash writes, they are making a covenant now, even though later things will come that will cause separation. So what altogether is a covenant with the Creator? Today he's giving me, I gain from that. I make a covenant with that, from him. Tomorrow, I don't need him, or he doesn't need me. So we make a separation between us.
Why is it not good? You determine. When today it's worthwhile, tomorrow it isn't. What are you complaining about?
I'm not complaining. I'm simply, if we're saying, like you answered the question, that these are degrees between the covenant and mutual guarantee. We received the goal only when we made
yes.
the arvut between us. The next day, I have the arvut, give me the Torah back, and it's very similar to...
What do you need the Torah? What do you mean, give me the Torah back?
I simply have to have the Torah to continue to work on this covenant, to rise up, to work to some degree.
That is why tomorrow you're going to have no covenant.
So I don't have the covenant. I feel the lack of the covenant. But he writes here, even if later things will come. So in advance, I know that I'm entering a certain state that I don't need this, and I fall.
Why? Because that fall is for...
For the sake of assent, I agree with that, but that's similar to politics.
I don't understand your question. It always changes for you to rise.
Only things that I can go up with that.
Yes.
So they're constantly taking the Torah away from me and giving. If my desire wants to ascend, then I receive the Torah, and my desire to separate from this, I have to give back the Torah.
Right, that's how it is.
Thank you.
Please.
In the article, he talks about two kinds of covenants, the covenant of Torah and the covenant of the circumcision. What is this circumcision?
That means that you commit to working above your desire. Circumcision, Brit Milah, the covenant of circumcision, it means that you become Jewish. To become Jewish means to work in unity, to work above your egoistic desire. You're not working on the malchut that cannot be corrected, and that's called the foreskin. You work with all the other desires that can be corrected in order to bestow. That's it? Okay, good. Yes?
It's written here that in a place where there's toil, there's sitra achai is there. First of all, that's not understood. Why? And if it's exertion and toil, what's the connection? What's the difference?
Yeah, it's a good question. Meaning, if there's no toil, there's no sitra acha, other side. So, I'm really a righteous. But if there's no toil, then how do I make an effort towards the Creator? How can I show that I do work and yearn for Him? So I have to have this labor. So, and if it is the place of the other side, then how does it happen? Yes. Very simple. I need to reach a state where, after all of the toil, I receive sufficient light that reforms, so that all the actions of bestowal to me are actions that don't take strength from me, rather give strength. Meaning I work in a way where it's like someone I love. Giving to him, for me, is pleasure, not labor. And otherwise, if I work, say, not for my beloved son, but for someone else, then it is toil. So it all depends on the level of connection that we acquire. And so if there is toil, then it's still sitracha. You're still not connected to who you're working with, who you're working for. That's the time of work. The time of work and the time of reward are separate, meaning you begin to work and it's a hard work, and then the other state is that instead of work, it becomes pleasure. The intention to bestow turns the toil to pleasure.
Denise from Moscow is asking, what does it mean to be interested in correction?
Interested in correction. That I've received importance from the study, from the friends, from the light that reforms, so that the importance of in order to bestow is greater than in order to receive. Not because it's better, I feel good, no problems, no concerns, I detach from this dirty world, but it's because I bring contentment to the Creator. All right? Yes.
If we're ready for the making of a covenant and we do so, what is the part of the Creator in that?
Well, we don't talk about the part of the Creator because we don't exactly understand his role, but I just have to understand that he's present in all my thoughts and actions, and he directs me from behind and before, as it's written, and that he turns his hand inside of me, directing me and shifting me to different states, taking me through different states so that I get smarter and I get the sense that there is none else besides him and that everything was deliberately designed by him to begin with, only I haven't noticed it before and now I do. That's all that we discover. His oneness, his uniqueness, that's what how we progress.
You once told us about how you stopped smoking, then that covenant that helped you.
Yes.
How can we take that example and take it there?
It depends on how you take it. If the group decides how important it is for me, this has to be more important than everything, than anything, including the Creator, because from love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. He writes about it in many places, about Asulam, Rabash, all Kabbalists. In our path, the group has to be more precious than the Creator. And therefore, if they decided that I have to stop smoking, then to me, that's it. It doesn't matter what they've decided, whether it's smoking or something else, but that already raises it to the level of the purpose of life. Toronto.
Thank you, Rav. Next question from Moshe. What is the correct demand for a covenant that must exist in the world Kli so that the Creator will maintain the covenant between us?
The Creator pushes us to a covenant. How do we move to a state where instead of Him pushing us to a covenant, we push Him to a covenant? That's basically the question. And so this depends on how much lack we have for covenant, because the progress is only by an increasing covenant, growing covenant. And it's also by the importance of the Creator in the covenant, how much we depend on Him, and how much we then direct all our power to from all power to advance towards connection with the Creator, so that the progress is not moving towards some state, but towards the Creator who determines the state. This is where we make discernments about the quality of progress. What is it about? And we gradually make these discernments within and begin to change a little bit from being directed even to the covenant and to the group and all the means to eventually the Creator. Meaning, what means can I activate to be connected to Him in all of my nature, in all of my soul? And accordingly, we already choose ways to advance. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. After I signed the covenant with my friends, my group, what's up to me with respect to my spiritual advancement and what's up to my friends? Or I'm entirely in my friends' hands.
You are in your friends' hands as the friends are in your hands. The covenant has to be whole. If one falls, everyone else does. So we have to understand this is a problem. Of course, the Creator doesn't relate to us with this level of severity, but we still have to understand that, you know, you can't bend it. Therefore, it's very difficult to see the people who can leave the group for a few days and not come, or then fall and come back. In the meantime, it's accepted. It's acceptable, but in the end, we have to understand the connection has to be whole. That's what the Creator demands from us. And accordingly, He'll set up different states for us. Could be that we have difficult conditions. We can't maintain this daily study and connection with the Ten and so forth. Then accordingly, we'll see. There might even be an easier condition in terms of the external conditions, and it'll be easier for us in terms of a study and progress and so forth. You can ask why. If you advance, it needs to be more difficult. Not necessarily, though, because if you advance, the slightest disconnect from the Creator already make you request and plea and pray. And now, in order to shake you to turn to the Creator, you need great burdening of the heart and detachment and problems, and then maybe you turn to Him. Meaning, when we advance, we don't necessarily take on greater disturbances. No, they could be little disturbances, but they're more sufficient to be in a more subtle connection with Him. All right, Niv? I don't hear you today. What's going on with you?
Stuff.
What stuff? To understand. All right, I repeat. Gershon, you're okay? Can you answer him? Answer him.
We need to ask correction for our intention.
No, that now we have a great burdening of the heart. Possibly in a year we'll have a smaller burdening of the heart. Why?
We're more sensitive to the real work.
Yes, and?
And on the connection with the Creator.
And
then it's enough, just a small disturbance.
To ask even more than with bigger disturbances. Niv fine? Not yet. That's already the burdening of the heart.
Can I ask?
Yes.
After turning to the Creator, regardless of if it's over a small or a large disturbance, we ask Him to correct our intention. What does it mean that the prayer is answered? Meaning a person feels some improvement in his connection with the Creator? Or what?
You're forbidden to try to check that, because you'll get confused. I turn to the Creator one way, because I don't know in what way my assistance will come back. I cannot understand it. It could come as a blow, as a hug, as an enemy, as a lover. Who and what, I don't know. And the aid could be in feeling no change at all. And it will be aid, it will be a response. There's always a response. It doesn't matter what. It says, even a thief praying in his hiding place receives a response. But we don't recognize it. And it's forbidden for us to try to pick into that, because you just don't know all the different forms by which the Creator manages you. You can't identify it.
So, the fact that we're appealing to the Creator, it's enough to continue? And not expect for any?
Imagine yourself that your baby, that a baby is crying. You know, he has hurt his leg, not seriously. But he's hurting, so he's crying, his prayer is, help me. That's how he knows how to turn. He yells. Now what happens? How can he know what happens, that his mother goes to a doctor and brings a prescription and brings something to put on his leg? Does he understand all of that?
Ultimately, the wound heals.
Ultimately, okay, let's say in a few days, and then what now?
For now, he feels that he's being cared for.
What does he feel? That his mother went to the doctor? Went to the pharmacy? That she brings that ointment home, and she smears it on his leg, and he doesn't feel that anything is happening yet? You don't understand the example?
Clear. The question is,
meaning we cannot understand and scrutinize how the Creator answers us.
This is clear.
But we have to have faith that it is happening, because He holds our desire. He's there with it. If we work from within our desire, then it doesn't matter, true, false, it works. It can't happen that it doesn't work. There's no such thing in reality. Every word, every movement, every action, true, false, whatever it is, it works.
Many times I hear that we need to feel closer to each other, that we care more about each other. So that's for us the sign of advancement. And yet, you know, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. It's not a continuous state where I love Alex more and more and more. Sometimes I love him, sometimes... So towards this measurement that you specified, that we need to see how we're coming closer to each other, I need to be able to measure. Am I feeling this way truly or not? So I'm asking, I wonder, is it gradated like that? That more and more and more until I reach infinite love towards the friends, let's say? Or it can be some other love? How can I measure that? the work is correct, and I'm not just...
You work that, you check that your work is correct according to how much the concern in your heart grows more and more and occupies the heart. You have to reach a state where, besides the group, you aren't concerned about anything. And it will happen. I assure you it will. And it will happen in such a way that there's nothing besides that. Just let me leave everything else in reality. This is my soul. And one will give everything for his soul. That's it. How? By the light that reforms. When? Depends on you and the group. Whoa, we're already... Yes, Toronto.
Thank you, Ralph. We have a question from Toronto. Yuri asks, how can we push, obligate the Creator to keep a covenant between us? What is that action of obligation of the Creator?
The group can obligate. The person cannot on his own. As we learn from the prayer, the prayer is only a prayer of many. The prayer for the many. That can obligate the Creator in a mandatory way, because this is a desire that's already the minyan, the ten, and that is activating the Creator, controlling the Creator. The desire of the group that wants to advance towards connection, and in that connection discover the Creator that dwells there, that kind of desire, it necessitates, it obligates. This is written in all kinds of nice quotes about it. The Creator must fulfill such a desire. Yes.
Student from Japan is asking, we're studying and watching the lesson online through the computer. When we work with the computer, there are many disturbances. An email comes, I can't finish some stuff at work. How, as a virtual student, how can I help my friends focus on the lesson? We have to, sign a covenant, show a positive example? How, virtually, can I help my friends?
This I don't understand. When he, as he's watching the lesson, he's also looking at emails and organizing all kinds of things. So he's working, he's at work, I assume, because now it's, 9 hours forward for them?
So I was asking, how do I overcome, and how do friends overcome these disturbances virtually? If I'm a virtual student and they're virtual students, how can we help each other overcome?
If it's when they're working, then they should get another computer and put it next to them and put the lesson in parallel to the work that they have to do. That's what I would recommend. You know, not get kind of confused with it. Just play it in the background. And then, you know, looking at whatever is urgent that you have to take care of.
I don't think he was aiming there. He says, we are watching the lesson through the computer. How can I, if I'm a virtual student, and I have another virtual friend next to me, how can I help him overcome the disturbances that come to him when he's watching the lesson virtually? Because virtually, the connection is not like here. Here I might be...
I don't know. In every case, they need to make the connection between them and the connection between us as permanent. Today, to put one more screen is not a problem. And once there's a permanent connection between the friends and us, the one that is parallel to all their systems and work or wherever they're working, then we can talk. As I always see the lecturer, the Rav, the friend, Toronto, the Nebruch, Petah Tikva, whoever they see, it's not important. I must have that before me, first of all. That's it. Okay. Well, we will move to the next part, maybe. There are no other questions. I don't see on the outside. I don't see inside. Oh, Zvika, yes. Please.
The headline is, all of Israel have a part of the next world.
Whoever is part of Israel is already part of the next world. Israel is called one who's adhered to the Creator, Yashar El, as adhered as he is, then his desire, which is adhered to the Creator. He feels in that the next world, meaning the quality of bestowal, eternality, and perfection that's in it.
Then he says, I want to read the part. That's the meaning of, if not from a covenant, meaning if he didn't create those counsels to reach equivalence of form, the question is, what are those counsels?
How to reach equivalence of form.
Then he says, they wouldn't have the ability to reach the good and the light as
yes.
the purpose of creation. And I wouldn't have prepared the paths. What are the paths?
In order to reach adhesion and...
And then reach equivalence of form. Is that clear to someone?
Look, clear or not, turn to Rabash. You know, he learned his whole university is from the seminary, from there.
What are those councils? What are those paths? And then do you think he's giving the solution? How to reach those paths and those counsels?
We have everything. You can't say that you're lacking something. What are you missing?
I'm lacking the execution, carrying it out.
The execution depends on you. The Creator brings a person to the good fate and says, take. That's it. He puts one's hand, meaning his kli, his force, on the place and says, take this. This is what you need to take. Altogether, there's no problem. Well, take. It's like you take a baby's hand and you say, well, take. He doesn't want. Take. He doesn't want. That's how you are. He's saying, connect with them. Take them. Be with them together. Well, do you feel that? And what are you? I'll wait. I'll sit. I'll come. Maybe yes, maybe no. Your son, by the way, has more of a drive.
My son.
No, he's less corrupted.
Well, what is a covenant?
A covenant is a commitment.
That both sides commit to.
Yes.
And if one of them doesn't keep it, what happens? If he breaks it, what happens?
Then it doesn't exist.
What happens? Problems?
Yeah, problems can come, yes, in order to keep it. But it has the... No, you have to understand. Here, the matter is as such. On behalf of the Creator, the covenant exists towards the will to receive that He created. And we're not even talking about that covenant. We're talking about the covenant where we enter there with our desire. The fact that we're under the control of the upper or that we're advancing according to His plan, there's no argument about that. We have no hand or foot in that. Where do we talk about the covenant? Where we can enter in awareness, in our mind, in feelings, in scrutiny, into contact with Him. That's where we say that there is a covenant. Yes.
So what are the best conditions to maintain this covenant? Because I know that's my Achilles' heel, my weak point. So what are the points I have to pay attention to?
Inasmuch as you take the covenant upon yourself, You have to be certain that the Creator is willing. That's the way it answers you in the right way. Meaning, he stops in that manner to bring you in the way of Beito in due time and starts to advance you in the way of Achishana in haste.
Is it depending on, does it depend on me or the group?
On you. Let's say a child who's growing is 0 to 5, 5, 10, 15. He's constantly growing. Accordingly, from year to year, I relate to him differently than I did before. He changes. I change my behavior towards him. He enters the covenant, meaning to life, to this obligation, to actions in a more and more mindful way, gradual way, and so on. Well,
it's important the environment I'm in.
Yes, of course it depends on the environment. Well, so what?
So the environment has to be right for me.
Oh, so you're saying, well, what am I going to do it all together? Ah, dependent on the environment. I came and I'm not changing. I came and I feel myself that I'm just, leave me alone. What do I need? Kind of like that. So here's the point that if you fall into the hands of the society, then the society is willing to accept you somewhat and to give you some help, some beginning help, but then you need to stand up, not to be small anymore and a beginner, and to start to join and be not spoiled and a baby, retarded, but a partner. A partner with the society.
That's a covenant between us?
Yes.
So that's a covenant between us?
No, the covenant between us. But that has to be as a condition, as a beginning condition. But actually, people need to be concerned with whether they're advancing with their obligations and their participation in the group. And the group is built in such a way that it won't demand too much from a person. Meaning it will demand his regular materialistic participation. And even for that, there's not much of a demand. I'm telling you seriously. Even about all kinds of things, I see that people are not hurrying to participate. Yes, even about things that they consume here. You don't know what kind of debts there are here. And it's truly a shame that it's so. And then we want a covenant with the Creator, with the group. No way. Meaning we need to check ourselves really well. Because there are things that you can't advance if you're not observing your debts towards the group, where you're still like a baby. You're living from the fact that they're feeding you. That can't be. How many years are you here?
Here? Over 10 years.
Well, you see, you're behaving like a baby.
The question is, you brought up a nice point. Are your commitments towards the society, towards the place? What do you mean, my commitment towards the place?
I don't know. Just tell me, how is your participation here with us different than, let's say, it was 5 years ago? You didn't understand the question? Even the question you don't understand.
I understand. I don't have a deficiency for it.
What does that mean?
You mean the deficiency. So I understand what we're talking about. Maybe we don't even know what a covenant is between us and the place. Maybe we don't know.
To be connected heart and soul with the friends, with the society that the Creator brought and said to you, take, that's your spiritual fate. So you need to constantly advance and be with them more and more and more and more. So I'm asking, what is the form of connection that you have with them 5 years ago and today? Has it advanced, that form of connection? How? You see, you are inanimate. Inanimate means dead. That's why you're not advancing.
How do I check it? What was 5 years ago? How do I check what it was 5 years ago and today? What are the points I can grab hold onto?
I'm not going to go and check this in your place.
Not in my place.
Ask the friends.
Progress of people, how do you measure it?
According to your participation.
Physical?
Yeah, physically.
Is that all?
That's the first thing. That's how I check myself, how many hours I'm investing, the forces I'm investing, according to everything that I'm capable. Physically, yes. How many filmings, how many copies, how many pages, how much I'm writing, how much I'm filming. Every single thing. I try not to go down from that. And if I do, then replace it to forms that are more beneficial. Yes.
There's another topic, loyalty to the place.
You can speak beautifully about that, but what can we see?
It's very hard to see.
That's an excuse. You have to know how you're advancing, because that's how you know if you're advancing or not. That's why it's important. You don't have to tell me and give me the claim that you're okay. You need to check yourself if you're advancing. And where are those signs? Those signs are only in your effort. We decide through effort. Do you remember? We learned it once. It's not just once, it's also today it stands. And that's the problem. And that's why we don't pay attention to such things, these fundamental things, and the result. We need to think really well. Okay? We're going